Amen. Hey, I want to share a word with you this morning. A couple of Sundays ago, I began a series where we started looking at the journey of the wise men. We looked at a message titled, We Have Seen His Star, or a series, I should say, We Have Seen His Star. We're continuing with that on this third Sunday as we kind of look at this trip that the wise men went on and things that were a part of it. And today we're going to be looking at the gifts that the wise men brought. Of course, today was going to be a little different than it is, but that's okay. We had planned today to have Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus with us in a live skit as a part of Sunday. And that was actually going to be little baby Ian stepping in as Jesus in his first acting role. He will be too big next Christmas, so I'm going to need for one of the young couples in our church to have a baby and work out the timing right for next year. But this week, of course, things will be off. We've dialed things back because of the virus. But again, I'm so glad to connect with you virtually in this way. I want to read a passage from Matthew chapter number 2, just a couple of verses today. And of course, we've been in Matthew chapter 2 each day over these Sundays. But Matthew chapter number 2, verses 10 and 11, it tells us this. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Of course, this is the wise men who saw the star. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 2, 10 and 11. Father, thanks. Thanks for your word. As always, I do pray that you would challenge and encourage our hearts from it today and equip us to live for you. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Church, if you'd pray with me now, Father, speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I remember when my son Nathaniel was only about 10 months old. It was his first Christmas, and we had a few things for him, but there was a gentleman in our church who had no grandchildren yet at the time. His children had all grown. They were young adults, but he clearly was ready to be a grandfather. And he kind of took our son on as a child to give gifts to that year. I will never forget when we received the gifts that a couple of the things that Nathaniel received, one of them was a train set and the other was a slot car racetrack. If you don't know what that is, those are the cars that have the little like needles that come out the bottom of them to connect them to the racetrack. And you assemble that black track with the sections, and it was a large one. And it had a counter and had the throttle controllers to where you could do these long races against each other. It was kind of an odd gift for a 10-month-old baby, but I want to tell you, my son had a lot of fun playing with that box. My wife and I, on the other hand, had a lot of fun racing each other for hours in these long duels of 50 and 100 laps and playing with the train set and all on that Christmas. It was a great gift for us, and unfortunately, by the time Nathaniel was a few years old, it was kind of worn out, but I'm sure he enjoyed watching us play along the way. As I think of that, this year, I am the one with the granddaughter. I have an 18-month-old granddaughter, and if any of you are thinking about getting her something for Christmas, I know that she would really like to have a PS5 game system, so you could keep that in mind. Well, we've all received some gifts along the way that might have been a little bit odd. Maybe they didn't seem to fit. They were the wrong size, or they weren't maybe something that we thought we would like, or we would think that someone would think we would like, whatever it would be. And unusual and expensive, however, doesn't always go hand in hand. But when it comes to babies and odd gifts, the wise men definitely top the list. I don't know if Mary ever filled out the registry at the Bethlehem Target or not, or Babies R Us, I don't think that's around anymore, or wherever else, but the wise men didn't check any list anyway. They brought gifts on their own, and they brought gifts with purpose behind them. We know that, and it's the gifts that we're going to consider today, more so than the wise men themselves. We aren't told a lot about the wise men in the Bible. We know they came from the East. We know they journeyed and followed a star, and that's about it. If God had wanted us to know more about the wise men, I'm sure we would have been told more about them in the story. But when Matthew wrote his gospel, his emphasis in this story was definitely on what they brought more than it was on who they were. And they showed up with gifts. I don't know if you've ever been involved with a gift exchange that had a dollar limit or not. Sometimes in office parties or even in family, sometimes a dollar value will be called and we'll say, don't give anything over $15. Don't give anything over $20. Whatever is the dollar value that will be called in a gift exchange. And sometimes families do that as well. And it can keep the pressure off from anyone feeling like they have to buy something that's all too expensive. My grandparents had a truckload of grandchildren. Then I fell in that group. I had a lot of cousins growing up, and every year at Thanksgiving, we would all write our names down on little torn up strips of paper, and we'd put them in a hat and mix them all up, and then we would draw names, and you would pick which name you were going to give a gift to among your many cousins. This way we didn't have to buy gifts for everyone. There were just too many of us, and who would you get for? So you would just get one. And I don't remember if there was an agreed upon dollar amount, but these were all reasonably priced gifts. They were simpler things. In fact, I remember if you got something like a Lifesaver book, you really hit the jackpot. Now, you had to have been around in the 70s and 80s, or maybe a little even before then, to know what a Lifesaver book is. But when I was a kid, that was an awesome gift. You would open it up, and there was like 10 packs of Lifesavers in there and a little story about Frosty the Snowman or something. And I can remember eating straight through a roll of Butter Rum Lifesavers like in a matter of a couple of minutes. And apparently we didn't know about cavities back then because my parents would just let me. I don't know. But it was a lot of fun. And we would get these simpler gifts that would come at that time. Well, the wise men didn't bring simple gifts. They brought gifts that were much more expensive, things that were a little costlier that they showed up with. And the gifts were of enormous value. In fact, we know as we look them up and study them, we don't know how much of each gift they brought. We don't know how much gold they brought. We don't know how much frankincense or how much myrrh. But it does seem odd that you would travel on a 2-year-plus journey just to bring some little trinket. So they must have showed up with something significant. And the gifts themselves we know to have been of great value. Gold, of course, is still worth a lot of money. In fact, I looked it up a couple of days ago and it was going for about $1,880 an ounce. That means if they brought just a pound of gold, that would have been about $30,000 worth of gold. We don't know if it was a pound, a couple of pounds. We don't know what it was. Interestingly enough, in the first century, frankincense and myrrh were worth more than gold. They came from these rarer trees, and their value of these resins that came from these trees were significant. And we don't know how much of those they showed up with, but we know they were gifts of great financial value. Bible historians will often speculate about what happened to the gifts. We don't really know. We can only assume. It's often assumed that the gifts would have financed the young family having to flee to Egypt and live there for some time when Herod was trying to kill Jesus and then return. That would make sense, but truthfully, we don't really know. We just know what the gifts were and the significance of them as they came. So it's the gifts themselves that really matter in the Christmas story, more than the value or what happened to them or anything else. It's the gift themselves. So let's consider them very quickly today. That first gift, of course, was gold. They brought three gifts. We just read it together there in Matthew chapter number 2. The first gift was gold. Gold was referred to in this day as the metal of kings. A gift of gold was a gift for a king. And it's exactly who Jesus was. Jesus was king. Now, Herod was a king at the time. Now, Mr. Fox, I know you're interested in the message, but you're just going to have to wait a little bit. I'm not sure if you can see my dog, but he's decided to join me, so he can hang out, or we'll see how it goes at this time. But Herod was a king at the time. Mr. Fox thinks he's a king. And But he was not born a king. Herod was a king by appointment. And truthfully, he was appointed king through some ruthless dealings and transactions, and he killed different people. He had done some terrible things in order to become king. He was a terrible individual at that time. He was the sitting king in Jerusalem, in Israel at that time. In a royal family, a baby also can be born a king. You can be born in line to be king. When Prince George was born 7 years ago in England to Prince William, it put him already as the third in line to become the king of England, behind Prince Charles and Prince William, and now the little guy, Prince George. And someday he can become the king. But Jesus was the king before he was born, unlike any of these individuals. Jesus was already the king. He was the king before he ever came to earth. Jesus was king while he was here. Even though he set his deity aside, he still was the king, and Jesus would be the king afterwards. He's always been the king of kings. The gift of gold spoke of his kingship. And Jesus, of course, is a king whose reign will never end. We know that, thank God. Always has been, always will be. May have been born to a humble couple, the wise men had journeyed following a star to declare that he was no ordinary little baby at all. He was a king, and granting him gold symbolized his right to rule. Next, they brought him frankincense. We know that as well. Gold may have been a gift for a king, but frankincense was a gift for a priest. This was a gift that was usually mixed with oil and was used to anoint the priest of Israel. It was used in worship in the temple. There were offerings that would be offered up, and you would pour oil mixed with frankincense or incense on those offerings as they were offered up. When meal offerings were presented in the temple, they were presented with this anointing oil as an act of thanksgiving and praise to God. And when offered with this fragrant oil, the offering was pleasing to God, the Bible tells us. It ascended into his presence. Hebrews 4:14 tells us that we have a great high priest. And of course, it's referring to Jesus himself. The priests of the Old Testament, they came and they served their purpose, but they had to offer many different sacrifices for sin. But not so with our great high priest. Hebrews 10:12 tells us that when this priest, talking about Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, that's the cross, he sat down at the right hand of God, Hebrews 10:12. Priests were mediators. They were go-betweens. You went to God through the priest before Jesus came. If you wanted to communicate with God, you communicated with a priest, and the priest communicated with God for you. The priest let God know you were thankful. The priest let God know you wanted forgiveness. The priest let God know you were offering praise, whatever it would be, as you would bring your offerings to them. But Jesus came to fill that role in our lives once and for all, thank God. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. Jesus is our great high priest. He came as the King of Kings, and he came as the ultimate high priest as well. And then the last gift, of course, was myrrh. Myrrh, like frankincense, came from a tree, and it had different uses at the time. Medicinally, it was used as a numbing agent at that time. We find it offered to Jesus as he was approaching his crucifixion. In fact, Mark 15:23 says, "Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it." Well, the myrrh mixed in, it was to deaden his pain, to help lessen it. But again, we know Jesus didn't drink it, and yet we find it mentioned there and the purpose of it at that time. Myrrh was also used in burial ointments. It was in the first century, bodies were prepared for burial with different oils and ointments that were rubbed on them. When the women came to prepare Jesus' body for his burial, after he had been taken down from the cross and placed in the tomb, they probably would have had myrrh with them. It's definitely the most unusual gift of the three of them, for sure. who gives a baby something that is used to numb pain and prepare for death? That's a strange gift altogether. If you had a baby, it would be a strange gift for you today. But just as the first two gifts spoke of who Christ was and what his destiny would be, this one did as well. These gifts were prophetic in nature. They spoke of why the child had been born. And Jesus had been born to die. We know that. Everyone dies. We realize that. Everyone who is born dies. But it's why Jesus came, and that makes his death different. John 15, 13 tells us, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." John 15, 13. Jesus' life wasn't taken from him. He wasn't murdered. The Bible tells us that he laid his life down. He gave his life as a ransom, as a payment for my sins and for your sins as well. And it's a beautiful part of the Christmas story. These gifts that came and what they came to mean, the significance of them, and they're being offered to Christ. But what's our response to be on this Sunday? We hear about these gifts. We've known about them through much of our lives, or for many or most of us. And what's our response to be to the account, though? Knowing that the Bible is light and life and direct our paths. Today I ask, what gifts will we bring? The wise men brought gifts of gold, of frankincense, of myrrh. What gifts do we bring when we come to the Christ child? What's our gift to the baby that was laid in a manger? I mean, think about that with me for a moment. A lot of gifts will be exchanged this week. Many of you will exchange gifts this week with family and friends. And some folks are really good at giving gifts. My wife is pretty good at it. My wife is amazing at wrapping gifts. My wife could wrap a 737 aircraft with half a roll of paper and about 3 inches of scotch tape, I think. I'm not sure how she does it. She's good at all of that. It's her thing. My wife can pick gifts sometimes for folks who are difficult to buy for and still find something that they would like. I must admit that I'm not as good at the gift-giving side of things. My wife does the Christmas shopping. If you ever see those jokes shared around this time of year that say things like, dad wants the kids to hurry up and open the gifts so that he can see what he got them for Christmas. Confession, that would quite often be me as well. In fact, I can't wait for my grandchildren to open their gifts this year so I can see what I got them. I'm sure it's going to be great. She's a little better at it than I am. God's good at giving gifts. But again, I want us to hang out for a second on what gift we would give in response to this passage about the gifts that the wise men brought. What gift would we bring to Jesus? Now I realize we aren't approaching the manger this Christmas, but we are always approaching Jesus. And as we come to him, can I suggest some gifts this year that we would bring to Jesus as well? And the first thing that I believe we should offer Christ is our myrrh. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor, you're all mixed up. That was one of the gifts you just said the wise men brought. And clearly, we don't have any myrrh. At least, I doubt if you have any. But stay with me. We just considered how odd of a gift that was for the wise men to give to Jesus. But remember, we're thinking of myrrh as a symbol of sacrifice, as a symbol of death, of laying one's life down. We just read John 15, 13 that says there's no greater love than this, than to lay one's life down for one's friend. And Romans 12, 1 tells us this. Romans 12, 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." To offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God. I challenge us to bring Jesus our myrrh this Christmas, to bring him our lives. Jesus gave his all for us. How could we give anything less in return than to give our lives back to him? Secondly, I want to encourage you this Christmas to bring him your frankincense. We know that no part of us is good on our own. We know that. The Bible tells us there's none good but the Father. The Bible tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. Only Jesus has truly lived a righteous, holy, blameless life on earth. None of us measure up. That's why we need grace. That's why we need Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Think about the Old Testament sacrifices on the altar for a moment, though. They were offered because no one measured up as well before we ever got to the New Testament. We read that when incense was offered up in the Old Testament, that when it was offered with those sacrifices, that they became a sweet aroma, a sweet fragrance to God. And consider what Paul writes about what happens in our lives in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. Ephesians 5, 2, it says this, "And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Just as Christ did. We're called to offer ourselves up as a fragrant offering, as that sweet aroma to God, just as Christ did. When we walk in love, when we live our lives as God wants us to live them, we bring our frankincense to the Christ child as well. We become that fragrant offering to God. And then lastly, let's bring him our gold. Let's bring him our gold. Now, I'm not talking about our money. Giving financially, of course, is an important part of our worship. And I mentioned along the way in meeting, I thank you so much for your continued generosity of giving to Silver Spring Assembly. We've continued to support all of our missionaries and ministries and do so many things to bless our community in this season. It's through the generosity of folks continuing to give. If you haven't been given, what are you waiting for? I encourage you to do so. But when I mention bringing our gold, I'm not talking about money. Again, it has its place, but stay with me here. The gift of gold was an acknowledgement that Jesus was king, that he had authority, that he could reign. It was the medal of kings. Gold symbolized royalty. The gift of gold was an acknowledgement that's who Jesus was. Let's allow the Savior of the world, our God who became flesh, to be our King, to rule in our lives, to sit on the throne of our hearts. Let's bring Jesus our myrrh. Let's bring Jesus our frankincense. Let's bring Jesus our gold. That would be to come to God to say, "Lord, my life is yours. My life is yours. I will live it as a fragrant offering to you, for you are my King, King of kings and Lord of lords." If we offer that to Jesus, we have placed ourselves on a path that leads to life everlasting and on a path where we experience the fullness of God in our lives in the here and now. And that's what God has wanted all along, to be with us, for us to be with Him, Emmanuel. We give ourselves back to Christ for Christmas, the God who gave Himself for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophetic gifts that the wise men brought so many years ago. They assure us as they speak over the whole situation of the uniqueness of Jesus coming to earth. Today we offer ourselves back in response. We bring our myrrh. We bring our lives. We bring our frankincense. May we be a fragrant offering to you as well. As we walk in love, we bring our gold. We invite you, Jesus, to sit on the throne of our hearts and to be the Lord of our lives. Be our King. We submit ourselves to you. We love you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much and God bless you. I want to encourage you to walk in that this week. I hope you have a great time celebrating this week the birth of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you won't get to be with all of the same people you're always with for some of us, but whoever you're with, take advantage of your telephone and make some calls and send some texts and even emails or however you want to do it, but let's reach out to one another, and I trust that you'll still be able to make that connection with family and friends. I do so appreciate your prayers for my own household, as well as others in our church as well, who've been sick of recent. We thank God that we're on the road to recovery. We thank you so much for your prayers and your generosity. God bless you and Merry Christmas.